Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is God's Word. "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill, the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us.' Then the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.' On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the other Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, 'Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are doing and bring back some assurance from them.' They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, 'Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel.' David asked the men standing near him, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, 'This is what will be done for the man who kills him.' When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, 'Why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle.' 'Now what have I done?' said David. 'Can't I even speak?' He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shaarim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, O king, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
I love this story. Here you've got a situation where two armies are lined up. And the image back home is they are fighting the Philistines. Jesse David's father, sends him to check on his brothers, and he says, they are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Please note, for accuracy's sake, even though that was the image back home, is they're fighting the Philistines, in reality, it had been over a month with no fighting. Instead, you had one army camped on this side of the valley, the other army camped on the other side of the valley, and every morning, it says in the text, every morning the Israelites would have breakfast and then have a pep talk and then run out to the battle line cheering their defiance against the Philistines. We're going to get them. All right, let's go. Today's the day. Yeah, woo, woo. And they'd go running out there, macho men, taking their position, saying, we can take you. And then Goliath would step forward. And verse 16 says, for 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Okay? Verse 11, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And verse 24, when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. They ran from him. How embarrassing is that? Twice a day, he rumbles forward and shouts at them, and they go, and go running back the other way. Well, maybe they didn't do the, but they went running. All right? They ran from him. Look over here in verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. All the Israelites ran from Goliath. David, when the giant's coming toward him, he runs toward the giant. What makes a David? Why are they running away and David is running into the face of God's enemy? Because he understood it was God's enemy. And whereas we have this impressive description of all the amazing weaponry and armor, both offensive and defensive preparation on the part of this giant who's bigger than anybody. David says, I'm not coming at you with sticks and stones. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord Almighty. And that is what makes the difference. David's power was the power of God. And he knew it. And we're going to talk about that. But I want you to see that what's going on here is that David takes this conflict not to a new level, but to a level where the real conflict is exposed. What is going on is that what has been happening all along, this guy is defying the name of the Lord, is now exposed. The Israelites weren't really thinking in those terms. They were thinking, can we take him? I'm not sure we can. They weren't thinking about what God can do. For David, that was what it was all about. But in order for David to be able to have that victory, in order for him to be able to be used by God to accomplish what he did, there were some other things he had to overcome first. And I think this is one of the most important lessons for us as we seek to walk in the footsteps of David, who, by the way, is modeling here a beautiful picture of the way that Jesus, who is the descendant of David, Jesus is going to be the one who defeats the enemy for us. Okay? But look in this passage. See this. First of all, David, before he could stand against Goliath, had to overcome what many of us get stopped by, and that is mixed motives. Okay? Even as a Christian, you will have mixed motives. David had mixed motives, and the text points it out. Three times in this passage, David asked about the reward. Three times, that's of interest to him. He wants to know, what is the reward for this? Great wealth? Really? And did you say something about marrying the princess? Does anybody think she's good looking? There was definitely, that was part of the picture. And the third thing was, Dad's family is exempted from taxes in Israel. I'm going to get to go home and tell my dad, well, good news, the Philistines have been defeated and you don't have to pay any more taxes. And by the way, I'm buying you a widescreen because I just came into some money. All right? I mean, this is a really nice scene. And David is interested. So after he's heard about it, he says, what was that you said they're going to do? And so they tell him again, Eliab is burning with anger. Why would Eliab be burning with anger? Jealous, absolutely. And why would he be jealous? Well, we just read in the previous story, previous chapter, where Samuel comes to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. Eliab is the oldest. He's the firstborn. He's a big, tall guy, looks the part, and he got passed over. And the kid who was so insignificant that they didn't even bother to invite him to dinner is summoned from the field, and none of them are allowed to eat until he shows up. And when he shows up, he gets anointed as the next king. Eliab has been irritated ever since. And when David shows up, Eliab is angry. He burned with anger at him, and he asked, why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Okay, David was undeterred by mixed motives. He didn't let the fact that he had interest in material things distract him from the most important thing, which was the glory of God. And he was not deterred by unjust criticism. When there was unjust criticism by his brother, he could have answered all of his brother's criticism. Look at what his brother said. Why have you come down here? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Is that true? No, not at all. Go back and look at verse 17. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. And so David did it as Jesse had directed. That's what verse 20 says. He was acting in obedience to his father. He wasn't there out of selfishness or conceit or just to watch the battle. He was there in obedience to the father. Again, this is a picture of Jesus. Walking in obedience to his father. But his brother said, with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? Well, that's answered in the text too, verse 20. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd. He did what the father directed him to do, and he was responsible in terms of making sure that the sheep were taken care of. He left them in the care of a shepherd. David, verse 29, said, don't you accuse me falsely like that. I'll tell you exactly why I'm here, and it's not for the reasons that you have slanderously reported. I am here because my father sent me. I came with food for you guys, and I did make sure that the sheep were taken care of before I left. Is that what he said? He said, now what have I done? Can I even speak? And he turned aside from the conflict with his brother in order to talk about the reward again. Okay? Because he had mixed motives. So David has mixed motives, but he's not going to let that stop him from doing the will of God. And he's not going to be distracted by the mixed motives, and he's not going to be distracted by his brother's unfair criticism. But he also does not allow himself to be slowed down or stopped by unhelpful help. Saul offered two kinds of help to David. The first was ungodly criticism. He says, you can't do it. You're only a boy. He's been a fighting man since his youth. That's unhelpful, ungodly counsel. Did you know sometimes people will give you ungodly counsel? They will give you counsel that leaves God out of the picture, or it distorts what God is like. And so what Saul says about the situation doesn't factor God in. David responds respectfully, but simply by saying, hey, this is not my first rodeo. I've actually been in tough, life-threatening situations before, and God gave me the victory. Secondly, Saul says, okay, well, if you're going to do it, go and the Lord be with you. But here, dress like me. And David respectfully puts it on and tries to walk around in it. But it's like, I don't think this is going to work, okay? I mean, I'm not used to this stuff. And so he takes it back off, gives it back to Saul, and he picks up 5 smooth stones from the stream. So David is undeterred by the unhelpful help of Saul. He's undeterred by the unfair criticism of his brother, and he is undeterred by his own mixed motives. Those are the 3 obstacles he had to face before he could fight Goliath. But there were some other things that set David up for success. First of all, he already had an established pattern of depending on God. In his own life, this was not, as I said earlier, his first rodeo. This was not his first time to face trouble and depend on God. Verses 34 and following. If you compare that with what Jesus says in Luke 16, Jesus says, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. He who is unfaithful in little will be unfaithful in much. Well, guess what? If David had been out taking care of his father's sheep, and a bear had come along, and David had said, oh, well, Dad's got lots of sheep. And then a lion came along and took a sheep, and David had said, oh, well, Dad still has lots of sheep. David said, no. David said he ran after these big, dangerous, lethal, wild animals and grabbed them by the hair and killed them. But what does he do after he kills it? He says, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because he knows it was the Lord who gave him success. He is praising the Lord. He says, the Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will also give me success with this Philistine. He is a guy who has learned to depend on God in scary situations. God doesn't put us in scary situations to frighten us. He puts us in scary situations to teach us not to be afraid because we're depending on him. Please learn that lesson now. Second thing was, he ran toward challenges, not from them. Verses 35 and 48. He ran toward the lion and the bear. He ran toward the giant. If you spend your life trying to avoid difficulty, you will never make any forward progress. You're going to live your life looking in the rearview mirror as you try to back up. David faced the challenges straight on. He ran toward those challenges. He welcomed the challenge. And you and I need to do the same. Third thing was, David saw God's reputation as more important than his own. Look at verses 45 through 47. You come against me with sword and spear, David said. Sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David's focus was on the glory of God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.